Good morning, United Methodist Church of Port Washington. Grace and peace to each of you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Welcome to this unique way to be a part of worship today, this third Sunday in Lent. Pastor Romeo and I have been trying to figure out the best way for us to still bring some normalcy to a worship experience. And this is where we've decided the best option for us exists. We have to acknowledge, though, the hard work that has gone into our facilities this past week as we've been prepping for what we ultimately knew would end in a suspension of gathering corporately for worship. Just a quick note before we worship with prayer and scripture from Pastor Romy. This week, our custodian Wilmer began aggressively cleaning and disinfecting the building in hopes to minimize the spread and that aggressive measures from the state would fall into place. Despite our best efforts, we have 3 people, 1 direct and 2 indirect, that have been in contact with COVID-19. This coming Thursday, the building is going to be professionally cleaned and disinfected, as well as treated to continue disinfecting for hopefully a month or more on high traffic surfaces. We also want to take this time to acknowledge the work that Edmund and the choir have already placed into preparing music and song for the Lenten season that we are unable to have at this point. I've said this before, but it is even more true now than ever. This is something that they don't teach us in school. As time passes, we'll keep you updated with changes. And if you have any questions or concerns, email the church or give us a call and we will try our best to answer and to help out.
Thank you, Pastor David. Good morning to all of you. Let us now pray. Gracious God, that we're not together physically in one another's presence, we indeed are together in spirit, united through you. Great is your power that brings to us a renewed sense of calm and ease in these times, when for the good of all those around us, it is wiser for us to be apart. Yet in all this, we pray that even though distance separates us, our hearts will be moved closer to you as we continue to think of and to hold each other up in our prayers. We know you care for each of us, and you have shown this great care through the example of Jesus Christ, who cared for us so much that he turned himself over, knowing he would give his life so that we may live. Living Lord, may your example guide and strengthen us in these days, and may we respond to those in need around us. Inspire in us a desire to seek out those we know who may be lonely during these times, to check in and see how they're doing, to speak to them regularly, to show them they haven't been forgotten. Holy God, see our home and our community through these times. We lift up those who have so far been affected, those who have been sick and tested positive, the family members of those who have been forced into quarantine, those hospitalized and needing extra care. Lord, we lift them up. But especially this morning, we pray for those who are responding medically, for the staff and the nurses and the doctors and the caregivers, that you will watch over each and every one of them, that they may stay well and continue to care for our beloved sisters and brothers. We pray for those areas around the world that have been dealing with this illness, so that soon the efforts we undertake will begin to lessen the number of sick. Lord, we pray for all those in need today, for those who struggle, for those who are hungry, for those who seek, for those who hurt, for those who are scared, for those whom we don't know. Together we pray for all, for the church and for the world, as our Lord Jesus Christ taught every disciple to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us hear the scripture reading for this Sunday, as it is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground of Jacob, given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, Will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself? As did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, and whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, so that I will not get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, Go, call your husband and come back. She replied, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband, which you have just said. Is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where you must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. No one asked, What do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" But Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of God who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." And many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, United Methodist Church of Port Washington families. This is Reverend David Collins with your Sunday morning fireside sermon. To be honest, I couldn't resist, especially given the hard work our school superintendent and the school board have been doing the last week, trying to ensure that we're fostering a community that can better respond to what we are facing right now. But I do have to say, scripturally, that the woman at the well speaks volumes to us today as a society facing fear. To begin with, Jesus arrives here at the well around noontime and is a bit exhausted. He was near a Samaritan village, and we all know that the reputation Israelites have with Samaritans is not necessarily the greatest. Needless to say, the two groups of people did not see eye to eye. Normally, I'd love to talk about how Jesus and this unnamed woman at the well, as a Samaritan woman no less, are shattering boundaries that have been in place, not just because they are of different nationalities, but also because of the gender boundaries that exist. Who does she think she is, talking to a man, much less a Jewish rabbi? Because that was just something that did not happen. However, I want to look at it from a slightly different perspective, because this woman is setting the perfect example for us today, because she is social distancing. And boy, if those aren't two words you haven't heard at all in the past week. But all joking aside, this is and technically should already be something we are practicing. Outside of going to the office, Pastor Romy and I really haven't left the house much since Wednesday afternoon, other than dropping off and picking up Veronica at elementary school, and me going to the church building to oversee cleanup and other matters like turning down the thermostat since no one is there this morning, and if they are, they're really cold. So we are working on day 4 of just being home, and it really hasn't been that bad. Sure, the kiddos are driving us bonkers, but that's their job. Yet this is forcing us to reshape how we think about ministry. We are so very much hands-on, and this is making us completely rethink how we will be responding in the weeks and possibly month or more ahead. But it's in a panic when you really learn to appreciate, though, the simple things. Milk, bread, toilet paper, water. But it is some of these simple things that, at a point in time, weren't that simple, especially in some areas of the world. For us, water is something we have readily available in our homes, normally in several areas, the kitchen, bathroom, basement, laundry room, spigots in the yard, And I'm probably missing some other places, but you get the idea. We lift a handle and the water flows right out. Clean, safe, for the most part. Water ready for whatever we need it for. I remember in Scouts, one time we went camping at Lee State Park in the PD region of South Carolina, specifically Hartsville, South Carolina. Those were the days when we learned to treat water with a bit more respect, because it wasn't always right there at the turn of a handle. And sometimes we had to carry in what we needed to last us the weekend on a camping trip. Well, Lee State Park, it had something unique in the remote camping area, and that unique thing was an artesian well. But it wasn't the type of well that had a pump or anything. This was literally a pipe that went hundreds of feet down into the ground, and I assume through bedrock to an aquifer, and this water was just gushing up from the ground. Which, ironically enough, I later learned was the actual definition of an artesian well. But we as scouts there, we literally took our cups, we held them down into the top of this 4-inch pipe, and a cup of some of the most refreshing water you've ever tasted was right there. That was amazing for me because I had never seen anything like that, this flow of perfect water coming out of the ground naturally. I also remember living upstate in the Catskills, and people up there were always talking about how good the water is, and I'll give them credit, it is pretty good. Good enough that most of New York City drinks water that comes from where we used to live and were active in ministry. But I kept hearing about this one artesian well off the main road, and I kept wondering where it was because I remembered as a scout that well, and if it was anything like what I remember, my kids have to see it, and they have to be in awe like I was that day when I first saw it. For months, I kept vigilant watch as I drove down the road daily, trying to figure out where this flow was, until one day I saw a car pulled over on the side of Route 10, and there was this older couple out there with numerous jugs filling them from this little 3/4-inch PVC pipe sticking out of the side of the mountain. Come to find out, this is what I had been searching for. A little pipe sticking out of the rock that drained into the ditch. Not exactly the well or the experience I was thinking we were going to have. But then again, it was also quite possibly the same thought the Samaritan woman was thinking as Jesus approached her that day at the well and asked her for a sip. But it was in that moment, that unexpected moment of grace, that the woman experienced the Spirit of God right then and there. And she was, for all intents and purposes, a social outcast from her village, which is why she was at the well in the midday sun and heat. Because the rest of the village, those well-respected folks, had gone earlier in the day, before the heat of the day, to draw their water. And she was there at that awful time because she was a social pariah. Yet the love of God embraced her there at the well, unexpectedly. And the love of God reached beyond the boundaries that were in place between the Samaritans and the Israelites, between the boundaries of an unclean woman and a righteous man, simply between a man and a woman, and even simpler, between two people. The scriptures go on to say that there is a harvest, beloveds, and that harvest is right there before us. And Jesus points this out to us clearly and vividly. A harvest we may have been driving by for months, just waiting for us to see, possibly waiting for us to stop by, waiting for us to engage in conversation. And also perhaps ourselves be surprised by what God can do through us for others, and where God can surprise us through those actions. In this teaching, the woman, the disciples, and the Samaritan villagers all received more from Christ. They all received more from Jesus than what their expectations and assumptions could have even led them to remotely expect. A veritable and a true transformation that has taken a skeptical Samaritan woman, who in a short period of time becomes a witness to the gospel. And a teaching moment for Jesus with the disciples, where he reminds them that the work they are doing is not from seeds that they have sown, but is instead work that has been done by God to which they are witnessing its fruit. And a village that no one would consider a place God to ever think of as a mission field, to be a place where the harvest was ready. So may our eyes and our ears, our hearts and minds be open for whenever God calls to us, sends us, and instructs us, especially in times such as these that are driven by fear, in times where our neighbors are going to need us most. So now may the Lord bless you and keep each of you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Be well, beloveds, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.